Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the last of the 2019-2020 Brad and Body podcast. We've decided, with the season ending and the way it did abruptly from the NBL, we'll talk about all the positives and negatives that came out. And Body, I'm throwing to you. Start us off, my man.
Well, you're throwing to me. Let's start with the throwdown. What a great way to start the season, the whole new concept and a name for it, the throwdown between the new Southeast Melbourne Phoenix and the Melbourne United. It was a terrific first game, a great way to launch it, and it was a great way to launch the Phoenix's season. I believe you were pretty happy with the Phoenix, Brad, over the course of the season.
Yeah, I was. That's, you know, we're going to, just for all our listeners here and all three of them, well, what are we up to now, Body?
752.
Yeah, baby. 700. I didn't think I had that many family and friends, but anyway, we move on. Look, we just want to, go through some things that we've thought of that was fantastic. Anyone out there in Twitter world, make sure you come back, because we've been getting so many messages on Twitter, Body. It's been fantastic. Hey, yes, guys, I'm listener number, whatever it may be. And I got someone, and the great man John Casey came out this week and said he's loving our podcast. So I loved it. But yeah, I loved the way Phoenix started. I thought for a new program, there was pressure on them. They came out. I thought Mitch Creek was in MVP performance for those first couple of rounds, even maybe a quarter of the season. Yep. And I love what they did. Obviously, they ran out of legs. I thought they should have made a change earlier with their big. That's really what cost them in the end, to me, of making a playoff spot. But they were fantastic in their first season.
Yep, they were fun to watch. And then as the season progressed, I think they were less fun to watch as they had their problems and issues. And Cairns Taipans, after a kind of a shaky start there, losing three games to Illawarra and losing at home to Sydney, suddenly they came good and they were fun to watch. And I would say over the season, they were the most fun team to watch, most enjoyable the way they put their games together. We had Scott Machado, Cam Oliver and DJ Newble being rated as the best trio of imports perhaps that we've ever seen. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to make a counter-argument to that. So the Taipans were the team that I felt took over from the Phoenix as best team to watch. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I agree with you. They were unbelievable. And I'd probably add New Zealand in that with the last little bit of the season. I really enjoyed watching them.
Fair enough.
People will argue, maybe people from the West will say their trio, when you include Miles Plumlee into that, was great imports. But let's be honest, Tariqo White did not have a good year.
No, he did not.
He did not have a good year. So we'll come back to that. But I would have to say, what an outstanding recruitment from Mike Kelly, and such a well-deserved Coach of the Year award. Cairns were so much fun to watch, really, they were. And, well, they lost their semifinals to the overall winner. So, yeah, it's great.
But I like that you brought New Zealand into that too, because New Zealand did start off quite spluttery, and they were a train wreck. They were the first train wreck of the season. Then they brought in Glenn Rice, as you remember, and then Rice got in strife. The NBL had to stand him down at one stage from playing. So they were in a bit of a mess there, and at 4-10, they looked like they were heading for a very, very bad season. And at that point, Matt Walsh, the owner, steps up and reappoints Dan Shamir, the director of basketball slash what we know as coach, but they called him director of basketball. They reappointed him for 2 years. So at 4-10, at the halfway mark of the season, to reappoint your coach for 2 years, he really sent a message to the players that we're going with this man, so you better jump on board. They jumped on board. Scotty Hobson came back from injury, and they were terrific to watch from there to the end.
I think that's a great point you make, because there are teams out there, and we've seen it in every sport, not just basketball, where some administration will re-sign the coach because they feel pressure to do so, to say, we stand behind this man. And, you know, what is the number one thing they say about coaches? As soon as you hear he's got the full board support, you're out of a job, right? So, so it's a lot of pressure to do when, let's be honest, it wasn't working. It was not working. Glenn Rice didn't work. The team was a train wreck, and we said on air so many times, Body, that they were shocking. And they were, right? Yep. But then you look at what they've done and how they changed it, and that signing to put him on for those additional years and letting Corey Webster go, and yeah, Corey was having a pretty much standout year, right? He was really playing well. But it just seems sometimes you can just let a good player go and it just worked. And it just worked for them. And it was they were just so much fun to watch. And I put my hand up and say, I would have loved them to make the four, but, you know, I understand the teams that made the four and it was fine. But right then I thought they would have stolen fourth spot out of Melbourne. And they were looking great. But you're so right in what you say. They were fun to watch. They really were. And 4-10, what team signs a coach in your first season when you're 4-10 for an additional two?
Exactly. It was a very strategic and clever move, and hats off for it. When you say they let Corey Webster go, also RJ Hampton, who was part of the Next Stars program, he got injured and ultimately didn't see out the season. So in some ways, you might say it was addition by subtraction. They got a little bit better with the rotation shortening. And, yeah, they were terrific to watch. But let's talk about the Next Stars program. We had LaMelo Ball over at Illawarra Hawks with that magnificent, the first of a couple of triple-doubles, 32 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists against Cairns. And 7 million views, 7 million people through Facebook watched that, which is just extraordinary numbers. Mind-boggling, really.
Well, let's throw out the Next Stars, like you said. That has changed the league this year. What they were able to do to bring LaMelo Ball out, and you've said it on here before, Boddy, that'll never happen again with a guy like that. You'll get good draft picks.
Yep.
We'll get some guys that'll be really good. But this guy came with all the fanfare. I mean, they've got their own little, you know, whatever TV show or whatever they do. I'm showing my age there, you know, the Kim Kardashian. What was that? Kardashians. They got their show.
Yeah, Balls Up, I think it's called.
Balls Up, right. Whatever. I don't know. Right. I'm showing my damn age, right? I'm nearly catching up to you in that. But I and the plastic on your couches, I don't have that as well yet.
By the way, while we're talking plastic on couches, congratulations on your 17th anniversary earlier this week. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Top effort. I hope the plastic came off the couches.
Well, I met my wife 26 years ago. People said she must have been drunk to meet you because I'm batting way overs, right? There's no question about it.
I've heard that.
And 17 years later, she still must be drunk because I don't know what's happening. And I've got three kids. I think they're all mine, right? Yep. I think they are. God bless them. But yes, getting back to the real point, I love what the Next Stars did. LaMelo Ball was outstanding. All of them were great. To be able to have, and I will say, 17,500 people. I was at that game commentating. Yep. 17,500, the greatest NBL game of crowd ever seen. And I can take you back, way back, I think it was to 1999 when the Kings played Canberra, but the West Sydney Razorbacks played prior to that game. So it was the big, and that was a bigger crowd, but that was a doubleheader. Right. But this is the first 17,500 people for a single game, and the atmosphere felt it too. So that was fantastic by the NBL. I know you can say well done to the Kings and everything, but the NBL put the Next Stars program. RJ Hampton and I interviewed his dad. That was the funnest interview I've ever done in the history of 6 years in commentating. Introducing RJ Hampton or interviewing RJ Hampton's dad, Rod, was the greatest interview I've ever had the pleasure to do. And on the same night, I also did Sean Marion. That was great. But when I asked RJ Hampton's dad, take me back 6 months ago when you're talking about signing to teams and you had every college after you, your son, why did you sign here? And his comment, I'll never forget it, you don't get Casper Ware and Andrew Bogut in college. And that was my favorite saying of the year. So for me, the Next Stars was such a huge tick.
Yeah, and you're being modest there because he did follow up and say, or get interviewed by Brad Rosen. So, you know, you can only get that in Australia.
Mate, stop being silly. He said that first. He said that first, and then
it was edited.
And Brad, who? He said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" I was like, "Do you want an interview, mate? Is this like, what are you like? Is this just a local radio station? What are you?"
Now, right, so while we're in Sydney, what a great start they had to the season, 6-0, which was a very, very strong start, immediately made a statement. That's with losing Kevin Lish early in the piece to an ankle fracture, and also at a time when Will Weaver was getting amazing basketball out of players like Sean Bruce and Craig Moller, who've been, you know, run-of-the-mill players up to now, but he got them playing great. I think I've said this before. He also had Brad Newley playing with a new lease of life. Yeah, they looked really good, the Sydney Kings, at that stage. They looked pretty much untouchable.
Well, we're talking positives, so let's stay there. What about the players that stepped up this year? How good were the players? Now, we can go through so many, but Sean Bruce is a perfect one. There is so many players that played brilliant. Brad Newley was his best season that I've seen him in the NBL. I probably would go to you and say, was he better in his rookie year in Townsville because he was so dominant then?
Yes.
But I just think it was a different Brad Newley. He was composed. Yeah. He's hitting the three. He's running. There was games there that he just literally carried the Sydney Kings at times. Not the whole game. Yep. I'm not suggesting that. But there was times. But he was great. And some of the players, and obviously that's led by Will Magnay. How good was he, buddy?
Yep. Yes, he definitely made a statement that I've arrived at the next level, and hopefully he will build on that in the next season for the Brisbane Bullets, really build on that and become an absolute elite player. And then perhaps we won't see him for a while.
Yeah, there's a good chance of that. I agree. Can I talk about the imports?
Yeah.
Right. There's been a lot of talk. Is Bryce Cotton the greatest import that's ever played in this league? Now, I've got to be honest, there's probably not better people to ask than you on this. Give me your thoughts.
I think the only thing preventing me from agreeing with that at this point in time is longevity. Okay, he needs to be around a little bit longer and to keep doing what he's doing. Is he in this conversation? Absolutely, unquestionably, he's in this conversation. But this conversation starts at Leroy Loggins. And Leroy Loggins was the man in 1982 playing for West Adelaide, 1983 playing for West Adelaide, 1984, 5, 6, 7 playing for Brisbane Bullets. The championship went through Leroy. All right.
Yeah.
These days, the championship goes through Perth. In the 80s, the championship went through Leroy, 6 foot six, have to run around the shower to get wet. One of those sort of builds, would do whatever was required to win the game, whether that's hit a three, whether that's throw down a dunk, whether that's make a great pass, make a great steal, block a shot, play great defense, whatever it took, Leroy would do it. He did it with just such joy. He is the best import by far. Now,
I love that. I love that. And I want to throw some names at you. Yep. Rob Rose, James Crawford, Dwayne McLean. You know, they're the first three that come to mind. Unbelievable input. Oh, Leonard Copeland. I mean, Davis. Yeah,
let me throw Rocky Smith at you. See, now Rocky Smith played for St Kilda for 2 years and was so good that when they went to the World Club Championship in Brazil, he just got recruited straight away from St Kilda. The Brazilian team saw him and they just paid him a fortune and we lost him. He played 2 years here, was MVP in 1 year. And a lot of the people that would now say Bryce Cotton is the greatest player wouldn't be able to tell you thing one about Rocky Smith. Wouldn't know whether he was a guard, a forward, or whatever. So you've got to be careful when you say this because you're looking at a history that's now 40-plus years. You can't just go, bang, this guy's the best. Now, are you asking me, will he be the best? If he maintains this, yes, he will. Yes, he will.
That's a good way of putting it. I also want to throw out there guys like D-Mac, Derek Rucker. I mean, I played against these guys. I can't tell you how excited I was to play against the D-Max and the Ruckers of the world because I just knew I was playing. And Ricky Grace, got to bring Ricky Grace into that conversation.
I just
loved playing against those guys. Hated it because they were so good, but loved it. It was such a challenge. And, it's a great conversation we have in the imports. And now, you know, look at the imports that we had this year, buddy. How good were they? I know Bryce Cotton's the lead, but, like, look at them all.
Yeah, Scotty Hobson, Lamar Patterson. There were many guys that you could look at and go, wow, this guy would have won an MVP in this league in this particular year or that particular year. Just not now because Bryce is that bloody good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to take some credit for us here because I think we both predicted Bryce would win the MVP a long, long time ago where people were sort of jumping on all sorts of other players. It was like, no, Cotton is the man who comes out and gets it done week in, week out. Yep, and a very, very deserved most valuable player winner. And I will definitely rejoin this conversation about him being the greatest player in another 2 years' time.
Well, I think it's a great conversation. So let's move on to the coaches. We had some really interesting coaches this year. I mean, what's happened. Look, I mean, I'll let you go.
I was going to say, you already mentioned Mike Kelly, Coach of the Year. Fabulous job. Trevor Gleeson, 400 games, another championship. You know, fantastic. Joey Wright reaches 500 games. fantastic career he's had as a coach in the NBL. Yeah, there were some great things achieved this year, no question.
Well, let's start some conversation again. Greatest ever coach. Now, for me, I will never say anyone but Brian Goorjian.
Yeah.
But is Trevor Gleeson up there now? Look at the championships he's got.
Yeah, he's getting there. He's gaining. But the fact is Brian did it in a lot of different environments and a lot of clubs that had to be pulled together and made into something. You know, when he got the job, I think it might have been, I don't know if they were still Ngunnawal Inspectors or Eastside Melbourne Inspectors, but when he first sort of started, that wasn't the club that it became, and he's largely responsible for that. And so same with the Sydney Kings. They had not enjoyed great success prior to his arrival. South Dragons was one out of the box, you know. So he's done it in a lot of different environments, whereas Trevor has gotten into that Perth environment where you know you have management support, the organisation support, the money to put a good team on the floor. Mm, so I'm not, by saying that, I'm not detracting anything at all from Trevor's coaching. I'm just saying he's still got a ways to go before we put him in the same conversation as Brian, who's far and away the most successful coach in NBL history.
So obviously I can talk personally about Brian because I was involved for two seasons as an assistant coach and was able to see firsthand what he did. And I can say I've never, ever seen someone more committed to a coaching gig and understand, get into players' minds, have meetings, individual meetings, dinners, whatever needed to be done. Every guy that stepped on the court was 100% ready. And people sometimes don't realize what it takes to get into that game. And I know I've mentioned this before, you know, I coached in the ABA and I was lucky enough to win a number of championships. And mate, what I learned off Gorge was just unbelievable. And I rang him one night, I think I've told you this story before, and I was really nervous. And I was like, oh man, I'm really feeling nervous. And he's like, Rosen, you're just a Gorgian. That's the only thing that stops that is throw the ball in the air. Because 80% yes. of your coaching is done before the ball gets thrown Absolutely. In the air. And that's what he taught me. And man, he is just phenomenal. Let's move on.
Before we do, I just want to add that David Stiff has won six championships. He won two in Adelaide, and then he went to Sydney. And he had an interview with Gorge, and Gorge said to him, oh, what exactly are you going to bring to my team? So David just thought, well, I've won two championships. I'm walking in here as an established player. But Brian actually made him think about what his contribution was going to be for the success of the Sydney Kings. His contribution was playing in two more championships there and then two more in Melbourne. But it was Brian that made him actually have to think about who he is as a player, what he brings as a player, and what he has to bring for his teams to be successful. So that's the mark of a great coach. So taking nothing away from Trevor Gleeson, he's well on his way to making his own mark in the NBL. But catching Brian's going to take some doing.
Yeah, that's great. And Stibby was there when I was assistant coach. He came in that year. Loved him. Absolute great guy. Mate, what about the Indigenous round? Let's go to that. How good was that? That is just building and building and building. I love those rounds.
Yep, and it's going to get better. And so, look, that was a good step. We saw some other things occur too that resulted in big crowds. Like the 36ers moved to the Adelaide Entertainment Centre this year. It was a gamble. And for one of their games, they attracted 9,034 people, which is a record crowd for a basketball game in South Australia. So that was a successful move. Then I'll give you another good successful move. Miles Plumley being recruited by the Perth Wildcats when he was. And also Melbourne working out that if they brought Melo Trimble off the bench, started up getting the ball into Chris Golding's hands a lot more earlier in the game through Shea Illy opening, they suddenly went on a winning run, and they were pretty unlucky not to make it all the way through to the grand final series. That was a hell of a good series with Sydney in their semi-final.
Oh, how good was that? Mate, the one I want to really round out for this and a huge tick goes to the NBL, and I'll let you finish it because you know a lot what's gone on there. Tasmania.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yes. Well, let's hope that this isn't compromised by COVID-19, which is compromising so much of our lives. Let's not just talk sports specifically, but you know, it's changing our way of life worldwide. So let's hope that it doesn't have any impact on the longer term, because we definitely want that team in Tasmania in 2021, 2022, as is now planned. So hopefully that is not does not get compromised, because that was another huge step this year, a huge positive step for the league. Let me just say too, Kia Nurse winning the MVP for the Canberra Capitals for the WNBL. Sensational player, sensational season. Hope we see her again, but the word is that it's unlikely. Olivia Apupa, the guard from France that won the Rachel Swan medal as the MVP of the WNBL Grand Final. She was just phenomenal, just a joy to watch. You know, watching her body language and the way she went about it and how much she enjoys playing, that was like watching Leroy. That's what Leroy was like. He was just having so much fun all the time.
Beautiful way of putting it. Beautiful way of putting it. I know, like Canberra, you say 9 championships. That's just
9
phenomenal.
Championships.
Yeah,
yes.
That's great.
They must get really pissed off with Perth.
Yeah, they get 10.
Yeah, we got 9. Oh, we got 10. Last year we've got 8. Oh, we've got 9.
We can't go against the body nodge Adelaide Lightning as well. They did well. Look,
yes, they did very well, because I think they had the most. There was a lot of injuries this season. A lot of injuries to key players right through the WNBL and the NBL. Let's not forget that Damian Martin was injured for a long time. Already mentioned Kevin Lish, Alex Pledger was out. But I reckon the most substantial injury, and it cost the Lightning possibly the championship, was to Crystal Langhorne, their initial import, who was playing alongside Breanna Turner. Okay, so they had the two WNBA studs. She plays the first game. Double-figure points and rebounds, MVP of the game, aggravates a knee injury and is out for the rest of the season. And I think that was a substantial loss to them. They replaced her. They did very well. They made the playoffs. Good luck to them. And along the way, they beat the Brad Rosen Flyers with Nicole Seacamp getting a WNBL record 20 assists. That was an unbelievable night for Nicole. So we saw some absolutely great things in the WNBL this season. But
as big as that injury was, what about my Flyers, man? Come on.
Yeah, they were good for a first time club. Not named Dandenong.
After they were moved Dandenong, exactly. Yeah, for the first time
like
club.
A DBA written on the back of their uniform. Well, let's forget that. they did terrifically well, and it was credit to Jenna O'Hay to get herself back from a broken wrist in time to play the grand final series, and a credit to them to knock out Adelaide before she got back, because that was always going to be a difficult thing to do, but they did it in straight sets. So terrific effort.
I'll still say it. My girls would have won with a healthy Jenna O'Hay.
Well,
but
she was.
You can argue that. You can argue that with yourself, your Adelaide Lightning as well.
Yeah, I've got Crystal Langhorne would have been one. You know, would have been up there for MVP if she'd been around. But anyway, that's just speculation. Let's talk about some negatives.
I was going to say you've spoken a lot about some good stuff. Unfortunately, we do have to talk about some negatives. Where do you want to start? For me, it's COVID-19.
Yeah,
that's where it all starts, man. It stuffed our grand final series up.
Yeah, it stuffed up everything. Look, all sport, it stuffed up, but it's stuffed up life, Brad. So I mean, people are doing it hard now, and this is, we don't know when the end is in sight. I get a little bit pissy with some of these news reports that we see that say, oh, this is going to last 6 months, this is going to be 12 months, 18 months, batten down the hatches. I don't know where these figures are plucked from. Where are you plucking these bloody figures from? You know, give us some straightforward information. But the reality is life is changing. And when life resumes on the other side of this, it's going to be very different. Things are going to look very different in many, many industries, and sport is certainly going to be one of them. So, yeah, I've got to agree. You know, compared to what you just said, my bitch about unsportsmanlike fouls and how they're called sounds pretty damn paltry.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, look, I should mention as well, obviously, the NBL 1 season has been postponed. I know that the NBL also has postponed the free agency. So I think that came out yesterday, where they basically said they postponed the commencement of the free agency, which I think it was due on March 30th, will now be delayed until at least May 1. Now, that's unless parties agreed in the meantime.
Yes.
So obviously, if, you know, someone wants to negotiate, or just for our listeners that are not sure, if I had a contract with the Sydney Kings and I'm not allowed to talk to anyone until the free agency starts. So if that's May 1 now, I'm not allowed to talk to anyone, but I am allowed to go to the Sydney Kings and get a release and speak to someone else or sign with the Sydney Kings, using that as a scenario. So there still could be some signings.
Yep.
But, I mean, like you said, the whole world, I mean, you know, it's just awful what's going on. Yes. But let's just talk about the other things. For me, I know we've already mentioned it, but the Glenn Rice thing, I know we said about him, but just going out, you know, like in the middle of the season and getting into whatever happened. I don't want to speculate because it was all there. I'm not going to put names or words into places. But that was just ugly. And that was not a good look for the NBL at all. But I love what they did to react on it.
Okay. Talking ugly. Yeah, the NBL did a great job on that one. Talking ugly, what about the imports that Illawarra kept bringing in? The Illawarra Hawks. Oh. I mean, they should have just gone with your Emmett Nahs and the other kids that were just Angus Glovers, all these kids that did such a great job for them. They bring in Billy Preston. Honestly.
Mate, those two imports went 2 of 19 in their first game, I think, for the three-point line or whatever. Mate, I'm telling you, they could have had number 5 or 7 on their singlet with Body Nodge on the back, and you would have kicked one in at least. Right, with the plastic on the seats and everything, mate. Like, you would have had plastics on the side. Whatever happened, you could have scored more points than them. That was a disaster.
Yeah. Darrington Hobson. Yeah, just.
I don't remember that name. He ain't coming back.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's just, I don't even understand why they did that. I understand putting their eggs in the LaMelo Ball basket and Aaron Brooks before he got hurt. Yeah, that was okay. But these other two, it was just a waste of money. And
let's be honest. That thing was a train wreck from day one.
Yeah.
There was no one in their own mind that was saying, I think Illawarra can get in the playoffs. There was no one saying, I think they're going to come anything but last, because everyone said, Like, it was just, you could see the writing on the wall. There was at times where they were a glorified NBL one team. They were really shocking. But to give credit where credit's due, some of those young kids look great. Yes. And that club has a big future. My problem is for them, I don't think they'll keep them. Would you want to stay?
No, not unless the future looks a whole lot brighter than it does right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, and they didn't give us cause for hope. You know, you look at a team like Melbourne, if they bring back pretty much the same lineup, perhaps it's time for David Barlow to go. But if they bring back pretty much the same lineup, the way they finished when they got it right, Shaley and they got it right, the balance, you know, you got hope for that. If Cairns can bring back the majority of that team, you got hope for where that can go. But if, you know, you're looking at Illawarra, you say you're bringing that team back, you might as well be going for Waratah League.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay some amazing imports, and that's not enough. I did hear, and I mean, I haven't got this direct, but I've heard along the whispers, I believe Dan Gritter may have blown his ACL at an SBL club training. Right. So that's him for the season. You know, like, if he's done that now, he won't be back. So hopefully that's not the case, because I thought it was a real shame with him this year, because he was great last year under Rob Beveridge. And I thought he really had that big future, and he looked like that, you know, that Nick Kay and the situation where he had a good job, you know, doing well, and then he could grow. I'm not suggesting he would be a Nick Kay, because that guy's gone to another level.
Yes. Talking about guys that have stepped up.
Yep. Yeah. But I just thought, I really liked what Gritter bought, but I thought it was a shame this year, because he just looked in a really uncomfortable spot every time he stepped on the court, and it's a shame. But, you know,
Brad, come on. We're getting close to the end. Give us your Rosen Rattler for 2019-20.
Uh-oh. Rosen's Rattler.
The Adelaide debacle. Sorry, buddy. I've got to get it at you. The Adelaide debacle at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Don't know what is going on behind closed doors, although I can guess, but the way that came out in the public, shocking. Shocking from the club, shocking from players, shocking from everyone. No one was a winner for that. I really feel for everyone involved. It was a lose-lose situation. Really poor.
Couldn't agree more. Let's move on. I'll give you my Nudges Nasty.
Here comes Nudges Nasty.
Go for it.
Okay, I want to talk about address the TV coverage, that whole thing of the hub. I know, Brad, that you're involved in this, so you might want to stay out of this one, but or you might want to throw in your two cents worth. I'm happy to hear it. But some of the stuff that was done out of the hub, you know, the ridiculousness that is Dwayne Russell saying we're going downstairs as though, you know, they're upstairs. I mean, just stop that nonsense. Just say you're going courtside because you're all sitting in a little office in Melbourne at the hub. You know, and with the replays, what's up with the directors that are showing in-game replays during live action? We're missing live action while they're replaying something. My God, you know, that's just basketball coverage 101. Stay on the play. Okay, and the other thing I didn't like was how many times teams had to change their uniform colors and they ended up in black and white. One team's in black, one team's in white. It's color TV. Color TV, we don't want black and white. Okay, if you're Melbourne United and your uniform is black, or your New Zealand Breakers, your uniform is black, I have no problem with that. But, you know, rest of the time I want to be seeing the colours of our league, the oranges, the reds, the purples, the golds. You know, anyway, that's just me.
No, I love it. I'm going to rebuttal.
Two other things.
You can go and then I'll rebuttal them soon. Go.
I can't stand the way people latch onto a saying and then it becomes something that they think you haven't heard before and you've heard it 20 bloody times in the same replay. Land of plenty. Oh, for God's sake. It's just outside the three-point arc. The land of plenty. So sick of hearing it. The big dance. They're going to the big dance. Oh, my God. Come up with something new. Come up with something original. That's my Nodger's nasty.
Wow. Let it rip. Okay, I do want a rebuttal. I'm going to agree with you on the singlets. Whilst I don't have a problem with the black and white, because that's what it is, I love the fact, especially when Cairns are wearing their orange. I love, and even like when those Looney Tunes uniforms, man, I love them, right? Yeah. And then that New Zealand one with the black and everything. So I'm going to 100% agree with you. It will shock you for me to talk about the broadcast. Look, I worked sideline, I worked in the hub, and I did both. And I can 100% say to you that it's not the same when you're not at the game. But no, I can say to you, I thought it got so much better throughout the season. At the beginning,
whoop-de-doo, Brad.
It was hard. But now, mate, we've got to talk about times, right? Now, in this day and age, if you don't make changes and things don't happen, mate, the clubs have got to look financial. You've got to be able to do everything. Now, I'm not in behind the scenes for the decision makers, but as we grow with Tasmania coming in and these extra teams, this is going to be something that was be able to be, you know, make the whole league viable. So I don't have a problem with it. I do believe, like, certainly towards the middle and to the end of the season, I was quite happy with it, buddy. I got to be honest with you.
Brad, if something happens off the play, the commentators in the hub can only see what's on the screen, which is the same thing that we're seeing at home. So we're wondering, what's happened? That's just something that just happened behind the play. What was that call? And you guys don't know and can't tell us. Well, what's the point? What's the point? I might as well be doing commentary at home. You know,
come on. Mate, we don't want that for anyone, all right? Because we hear that squeaky of the plastic.
And let me just say, I'm not surprised you like the Looney Tunes uniform, because every time I see Marvin the Martian, I just automatically think of you.
I thought you were going to say, because you listen to my commentary and go, because I'm a clown. Nothing wrong with that, body. I normally, and this is it, we're right at the end of the season. I'm going to let you have a little chat and say, but can I just say that you and I spoke about 6 months ago, and I said, you know, what about us getting together here? And we had a meeting, and I can just say, I've had an absolute ball doing this with you, mate. You have been fun to do it with. We take the crap out of each other. For all our listeners, we talk during the week, we have a bit of fun, but what we're just doing this because we love it. We love basketball. We just want to get out there. We don't care if there's one listener or 50,000 listeners. It's not about money. It's not about sponsorship. It's about just us saying what it's like. So for me, buddy, from the bottom of my heart, I've absolutely loved it, and I thank you.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I appreciate you saying that, because it's been the same for me. When you first approached me with this idea, I thought, okay, why not? Let's see how we go. And I think I've really enjoyed it. I look forward to doing the taping. I look forward to what our producer, Joseph Corr, comes up with the final product. It's always brilliant. And he makes us look a lot better sometimes than we actually were. It's been a great experience, and I look forward to doing it again next season, if we don't just jump in every now and then and do a current affairs version between now and next season.
The COVID-19 Braddy Body Broadcast. Yeah. I do want to give a shout-out to Joseph Corr. That guy... Yep. puts all of this together. Like, Boddy and I have fun. He cuts it, and trust me, he has to cut it, right? Yeah. He cuts it. He does a fabulous job. NBL podcast. He's also got his own little podcast. Joseph. Pocket, thank you. Joseph, you're a legend, mate. We love you. You've been great. He's the man. I do want to tell everyone our plan is to get interviews. You know, we just wanted to bounce this around. We're still doing all the things. We'll get interviews. We can get players. We know we can get those things. But I want to thank everyone for listening. All 4-5 of yours. Boddy says 700. But we have
50,000. You said 50,000 a minute ago.
No, I said if there was.
Okay.
We put out a shout last week or a couple of weeks ago saying, hey, Twitter us or private PM us and or DM or whatever they call it, Boddy. And they say, you know, tell us what number you're. And we got absolutely smashed in social media. Like, I'm listening to this and I'm listening to that. And I just want to say on behalf of Boddy, Joseph, myself, thank you so much for that. It really keeps us going. And Boddy, I'm going to leave the final words to you. For everyone, I want to say thank you so much. But Boddy, over to you to finish it up for what has been a fabulous season.
Well, I just want to go out thanking you again for coming up with this idea. I think it was a lot of fun. I hope the listeners enjoyed it as much as we did doing it. And I also want to thank Joseph Kaur for cutting that stuff about plastic on my furniture. Well, actually, he didn't cut that, but he did cut the stuff about rubber on my furniture, which I really appreciate. All right. See you in a couple of months.
On that note, see you soon, everyone.